You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
You are amazing. You are so good. We are so thankful for your love, and we will build our lives upon your love. Father, today, we ask that your love would flow through this auditorium, that we would feel your love, we would know your love, we would see your love, we would hear of your love. Lord, we want to praise you, and we want to love you more. So, Holy Spirit, come and work through us. And Lord, I pray that, if anything that is not of you is in this room, Lord, that it would go away. But Lord, the things that are of you from this talk, from our worship, whatever is of you would stick to us. And that we would see more of you and more of your glory. Jesus, we love you. Amen. Hi, friends. My name is Alice Atkins, and I'm on the preaching team. I've worked with student ministry for over 20 years, and I grew up in the U.S. You could hear the accent. And I've been here in the Netherlands for the last 4 years. So I have the honor of bringing God's word to you today. We all love a good rags-to-riches story, an outsider-turned-insider story. An ugly duckling turned into a beautiful swan. A pauper to prince, like the Persian story of Aladdin. A lowly maid turned into a princess, like Cinderella. A lost farmer in the outer regions of Tatooine to a Jedi Knight saving the galaxy. We all love a good rags-to-riches story. An outsider to an insider today. Today we come to a story about a complete outsider becoming an insider, a prostitute becoming a heroine of the faith, a Canaanite entering into the family of Israel. Add some sprinkles of espionage, spies, close calls, near-death experiences. This is the story of Rahab the prostitute. It's actually pretty amazing that this Canaanite prostitute is included in Israel's story. She's an outsider, a foreigner. Ethnically, the Canaanites were considered cursed by the Israelites. Socially and morally, a single woman, a prostitute. But in the New Testament, she is listed in the Hall of Faith with the greats in Hebrews 11. In James, she is said to have the same faith as Abraham, the founding father of Israel, who was called a friend of God. She is included in Jesus' genealogy. How did this happen? What is the story? But before I get into the story, let me give you a prequel. Every good story has a prequel, right? A backstory. Over 3,000 years ago, Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. Moses was sent to free them and bring them to Canaan, the promised land. They saw God performing miracle after miracle. God convinced Pharaoh to let them go. He parted the Red Sea. Food was sent from heaven. Water came out of rocks. But when the Israelites got to the edge of the promised land, they sent out 12 spies. And the spies came up saying it was an amazing land, milk and honey. But there are huge cities with giant walls, and the people were like giants. We won't be able to win over them. So instead of trusting in the proven power of God, the Israelites feared the power of the Canaanites. They refused to go into the promised land. God was not happy and sent them wandering in the desert for 40 years. It's now 40 years later. Moses had just died, Joshua is the new leader, and again, they're on the edge of the promised land. And again, they send spies, this time too. Here's the story. Let's dive in. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. So friends, already in the first verse, we got spies, prostitutes. But as we keep reading, these spies aren't so good. They get discovered pretty quickly. Verse 2, the king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come out to spy out the whole land." Okay, imagine, if you were Rahab, what would you do in this situation? Two strangers come into town. You don't know them. You've heard of them. They're enemies coming out to spy your land, come to fight your town. The authorities in this town you have lived in maybe your whole life come looking for them. Who would you side with? What would you do? The safe bet, humanly speaking, is to report them to the king. Right? Why get in trouble with the king? Turn them in. But she does the opposite. Verse 4. But the woman, Rahab, had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Whew! That was a really close one. Whoa, Rahab, really? Did they believe you that easily? They didn't even check your house? They actually just took your word for it? That's pretty amazing. Then she goes on and bargains with the spies. Follow in verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." So friends, this is the reason why Rahab endangers her life. It's on the basis of these reports that she heard about the Israelites. From the reports, she somehow is convinced that Yahweh, the God of Israel, is the God of heaven above and the earth below, and that he is going to give this land to the Israelites. So she sides with the spies and goes and keeps bargaining with them. Verse 12, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, or we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." Well, do you notice that Rahab, the prostitute, is really family-oriented? She does not have a family of her own, but she goes above and beyond to take care of her extended family. She puts herself in danger. See verse 15. "So she let them down a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, 'Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return. Then go on your way.' Now the men had said to her, 'This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us. Unless we enter the land, you unless when we enter the land, you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you will let us down. And unless you have brought your family and your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in your house, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she said. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed. She tied the scarlet cord in the window. And so later in Joshua 6, we read that indeed the spies hold their end of the bargain. They bring Rahab, her father and her mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belong to her out to the camp. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. So, there is so much to this story. We could spend another two sermons on it, but we won't, Pastor Paul. She is so courageous. Do you notice that Rahab outright lies to the king's men? Pure deception. Men? I don't know. They left. Right? But she was hiding them. She risks her own life. Why? Because she had heard. And then she declares that the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. She understood God's power. She puts faith in God's power. It seemed more humanly reasonable for her to put faith in this king and the king's men. It's her own people. It's people she knew. But she chooses these foreign spies based on what she heard. In some ways, her faith was greater than the Israelites, who 40 years firsthand experienced God drying up the Red Sea, who saw God doing one miracle after another. And yet, when they got on the edge of Canaan and heard how the Canaanites were like giants, they decided to have faith in these human reports rather than in their own experienced power of God. Rahab had never experienced any of these things. She just heard about it. Yet, she didn't just intellectually agree that God is powerful. It caused her to act upon it with bold steps of faith. It was an active faith. Now, about Rahab lying to the king of Jericho, theologians have argued over the centuries. Should we lie like Rahab also? Right? What should we do? Some say the stories are descriptive, not prescriptive. They're sharing what happened. They're not telling you, go ahead and do all this thing. Others say that it's warfare, and so it's okay. Just like Corrie Ten Boom was lying to the Nazis to save the Jews, this is a situation where you can lie and save people. Interestingly, the author of the text does not spend time on it. That's one thing we need to pay attention as we read scripture. What does the author care about? What is the author trying to tell us, right? The author doesn't mention it, doesn't stop there, doesn't make a comment. And interestingly, the New Testament is not concerned about it either. Let's look at three New Testament passages that mention Rahab, right? It's interesting. In the New Testament, Rahab is mentioned more than Joshua. Joshua has a whole book to himself in the Old Testament, right? He gets a lot of airtime. But not in the New Testament, friends. Joshua is not even listed in this hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Read with me, Hebrews 11. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What also is striking in Hebrews 11 is that Rahab is the only foreigner mentioned, the only outsider noted. She is listed with Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. But she is the only foreigner. She's the only outsider. Because Rahab took bold steps of faith based on God's power, she is listed with the greats. And not only is that, her works are considered righteous. James 2:25 says, "In the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction." When it says, "and in the same way" here, it's actually comparing her to Abraham, right? It said in the verses before, Abraham believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. So just like Abraham, Rahab was considered righteous. Is our view of God as expansive as Rahab's? Do we really believe that God is powerful? That the Lord, our God, is the God in heaven above and the earth below? For me, the place where I really had to believe in God's power is actually getting up on the stage. It's not so much a public speaking part. I actually enjoy emceeing. It's something about the preaching part. It's something about handling God's word. You see, I never viewed myself as a main speaker. Growing up, I had great preachers around me. I always lived really close to a seminary. My father is a preacher. My husband is a preacher. And then most of the speakers I grew up with, they were always philosophically and theologically tight in their sermons. And they were always very logical. And I remember thinking, I'm not that way. I just like to tell stories. But then a colleague reminded me, you know, scripture is mostly in stories. And I was like, oh, it is. Still, it took me 15 years of ministry before God virtually forced me into preaching two conferences in the span of a month. It started with a 3-day student ministry conference in Kansas. They invited me to be the main speaker. I told them, I give talks like once a semester to small groups of students. I've never done 3 talks in a row. You guys go back and pray about it, and you probably should go find someone else. Well, they prayed, and God brought to their minds 2 Corinthians 12:9, where God says to Paul, "My power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says to God, "Therefore, I will boast more about my weakness so God's power may rest in me." And so they still wanted me to come. And I realized I needed to learn more to trust God's power through weakness. That up here, I'm just supposed to be weak and show you all my weaknesses, and God's power will work. I need to trust that he would work and that he is that great, that he can work beyond anything I do up on the stage. And so he has. And every time I'm asked to speak, I still struggle. You think after 7 years of working on this being upfront speaker thing, I would be less of a wreck. But each time it hit a moment, this time was Thursday, where I was like, why did I say yes? I should never say yes again. And you could ask my life group and all the people around me, even the elder brother, I'm like, please pray, please pray, pray for me. Like Rahab, I had to learn to not fear what people might think of me, the mistakes that I might make up for here, but to learn to trust in God's power. Now, to make it clear, speaking is not the end all and be all, it's just my story. Each of us has a different story. You might have a dramatic Rahab moment where it's life or death, but most of us, God is asking us to believe in his power and be courageous in the little things, in the everyday things. And honestly, sometimes it's harder. What actions do you need to take to trust God's power today, this week? Where do you need to have active faith? It could be at work. Maybe you need to stand up for something that is right, and it feels scary. Maybe you've been asked to share a truth with somebody, and it feels scary. Is it with your family? Is there a situation you need courage, that you need to believe God is powerful? Have you been an outsider all your life and you don't think you could be included? No one is beyond the reach of God. No one is beyond his redemption, not even a Canaanite prostitute. So at this point, I think what I want us to do is just have a few moments of silence. I want you to ask God directly, what is it you're calling me to, Lord? Where do I need to have active faith? Is there something you need me to be courageous? Because it could be something I listed, but it could be something beyond. And the Holy Spirit might be putting something in your heart as we have been looking at this. So I'm just going to give you a minute or so in silence. And let us listen and see what God says to us. Lord, we want to open and be open and hear. Where do we need to trust you? Where are we scared? Lord, your power is made perfect in weakness. Lord, would you help us to boast about our weaknesses so that your power may rest in us? And so, friends, if God brought something particularly hard for you, I would encourage you to come and get prayer for it after the service. When I struggled to trust God's power, I actually put on this song. And I should actually have told Randy about it earlier, but it just came to me this week. I put it on every time I preach. Actually, I have to prep preaching. And the song goes like this. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And the chorus goes, hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. And in declaring that our God reigns, it reminds me of his power, that he is the one who is in charge. I am declaring his power. Do we live like God is all powerful? That he is the God in heaven above and on the earth below? What areas of our lives would we be more courageous, like Rahab, if we really believed it? Where would we have active faith? Because of what she did, Rahab is considered righteous and is listed in the Hall of Faith. All of our stories, Rahab's story, is embedded in a larger story, a bigger story. The main character of the ultimate true story is Jesus, lest it becomes just about us. Let's look at the third passage in the New Testament where Rahab is mentioned. And it's actually Jesus' genealogy. Rahab is mentioned in this big list of Jesus' forefathers, right? In Matthew 1, 5 to 6, it says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Rahab gets married. Even though she was put outside the camp, her and her family, she is later integrated into Israel's family. And it's not just any family. It was what would become the royal family of Israel, right? Outsider to insider. She is King David's great-grandmother. This prostitute is in the genealogy of Jesus. Actually, in Matthew 1, it lists all the women listed, and it's actually amazing that it even lists women. Back then, they don't list women. Tamar, Bathsheba, Ruth, and Rahab, they're either foreigners or had shady past. And Rahab has both. She is a foreigner and has a shady past. But God redeems it. God actually lauds it. If you had a prostitute for a grandmother, a great-grandmother, would she be listed proudly on your family tree? or would it be sort of just not mentioned? Rahab is proudly listed in Jesus' genealogy, a venerable ancestor of the Savior of the world. The story of Rahab is a story of inclusion. Rahab is an outsider in so many ways, ethnically, socially, and morally. Who would have thought she would be Jesus' great oma? Over and over in Scripture, we see the radical inclusion by God. Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners. Women are included in his lineage. Shady foreign women. Rahab is included because of her faith, by her faith. Now, it's very tempting for me to leave this next part out. It's fun to just stay in the happy inclusion part. But it would be disingenuous of me to talk about inclusion without talking about exclusion. There is exclusion in the Bible. There is alienation. The truth is, our exclusion is caused by our sin. And there are consequences for that. There is judgment. In 2 weeks, JD, my husband, who is a theologian, will talk more in depth about judgment. And we'll leave it to the theologian to give you the tight philosophical argument. But friends, we do deserve exclusion. We do deserve that judgment. But it makes the inclusion more beautiful. The reality is, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves, deserving exclusion, deserving death, than we ever dared believe. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves, deserving exclusion, deserving death, than we ever believe. Yet, at the same time, by faith in Jesus, we are more loved and accepted, more included than we ever dared hope. Yet at the same time, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are more loved and accepted, more included than we ever dared hope. What is amazing is out of his love, God excludes his own son so that radical inclusion can happen. Jesus was on a cross when he cried out his final breath, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus became excluded so that we all could be included. It is through our faith in him that we are included. Therefore, we should be a people who are honest about the truth of our exclusion and at the same time amazed by the radical inclusion in Jesus. The problem is many of us come from faith tradition that have majored on the sin piece, right? On the exclusion piece. In our history, we have focused on judging people who are outsiders and keeping them on the outside. People who are moral or social outcasts. And it's happened ethnically also in the past. We keep them out there instead of acknowledging that we are all disobedient and should all be excluded. It's only through God's love and grace that we are included. We don't realize that we are all outsiders, that we are all like Rahab, but it is through Jesus that we become insiders. Rahab shows us that God desires to bring in outsiders. He loves us so much, he provides a way to become an insider through the cost of his own son. So what's fascinating is in God's grand story, in his grand narrative, he does this reverse story line. He does this reverse plot line. Instead of a pauper to prince story, Jesus' story is a prince to pauper story. Instead of a rags to riches story, Jesus' story is a riches to rags story. Jesus was excluded so that we could be included. All of this so that we can experience the great love and power of God, that we might be brought inside to his royal family. Let's pray. Lord, we are amazed that you would include us in your family, that we would be called sons and daughters of the great King and the great High God, that we would be sons and daughters of God, of heaven above and on the earth below. Lord, would you continue to show us your power and your greatness? Lord, would you show us the places where we need to have active faith based on your power, not out of guilt or shame, but out of love, joy, and freedom that you provide. So, Lord, we ask your Spirit would continue to show us truth today, this week, this month. And Lord, may we bring you praise and glory and honor. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.